Rockin' in the free world right here on the Peter B. Collins Show from Monterey, KRXA 540 AM, and in Eureka, KGOE 1480 AM, coast to coast and around the world at KRXA540.com. I am your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, sitting in today for Peter B., who I don't know where the hell he is. He's off all week. He will be back next week, I understand. He is your humble host. I am your humble guest host. As I say, your friendly citizen investigative blogger from bradblog.com. Going to be with you for the next 3 hours. We're down here in Los Angeles, in liberal Hollywood. That's right. And we are going to be speaking to some of those liberal Hollywoodians a little bit later, including Ed Asner, the great, the legendary Ed Asner is going to be with us later on today. That's right, Lou Grant himself. We've got a huge show other than Ed. We also have the great as well, Tom Tomorrow from This Modern World. I know there's a lot of fans out there of This Modern World. Tom Tomorrow is going to be with us taking your calls for an entire hour a little bit later on. Who else we got on this huge show? Faz Shakir is going to be joining us this hour from the Center for American Progress to talk about the latest in the White House. It turns out the president himself, and I put those words in quotes, the president himself may have authorized the leaks of, all kinds of stuff. National intelligence estimates, Valerie Plame's identity. A White House, for the first time in history, has outed a covert CIA agent. We're going to talk to Faz Shakir about that. And also coming up later, we're going to speak with Bruce Funk. And those folks who don't know who Bruce Funk is, I'll give you a quick idea. He is the county clerk in Emory County, Utah. And he is also one of the newest election heroes in this country. He allowed some folks to come in and inspect the Diebold touchscreen machines, the TSX machines that are coming into Utah this year and to a polling place near you, very likely. And he had the temerity, Bruce Funk did, to let independent inspectors come in and take a look at these machines. We will hear about what he found, and we will hear about what the state of Utah has done to him since then. He is, I should add, an elected official. And Tuesday, I believe, he went to work and his doors were locked. He's not welcome back. We're going to find out about that. He's one of a growing list of heroes around the country who are standing up for electoral integrity. And folks who know Brad Blog know that I'm pretty big on this electoral integrity thing. We're going to pound on that quite a bit today because, well, everyone else in the world is talking about everything else. And one of the things we like to say over at the Brad Blog is we've got your news agenda right here. That's right. We don't take our news agenda from Tom DeLay, from Dick Cheney, from George Bush, from Fox News. Certainly not from Fox News. Certainly not from Wolf Blitzer over at CNN. Or Chris Matthews on MSNBC. We figure out what's important, and we talk about it, we report on it, and that's exactly what we're going to do here today. I don't care what the hell everyone else is talking about. Hey, what's important? One of those things that's important is our electoral system, because as we're heading into these, all of that Bush-Cheney stuff, and I know that, Ed Schultz has been talking about it all day, or Jay Marvin, who was sitting in for him. Tom Hartman was talking about it this morning. What they haven't talked about is our electoral democracy being gamed and the electoral meltdown that we are now looking at in 2006. So far, we've had two of 50 primary elections this year. The first one was in Texas, that's right, the red state of Texas, and the second was in the blue state of Illinois. And what you may not know, unless you're faithful Brad Blog readers, and I hope you are, is problems all over the state, and one of the things that has occurred is that a Republican, conservative, former Supreme Court justice has now filed an election contest because of the number of errors all across the state. That's right, you heard me right, a Republican, conservative. So for those folks who say that this is only a, as they like to say, that this is a Democratic issue, that it's only the Democrats who are upset. Wrong. Think again. Steve Smith is the former justice down there, and he received, let's see, in, where are we here? Winkler County. Winkler County, in 2002, when he ran, he beat the statewide average in Winkler County by 74%. In 2004, he beat it by 65%. Guess how he did this year? He lost to his opponent by 100%. That's right, he received zero votes in Winkler County. Man, they don't like Steve Smith in Winkler County. Well, we're going to have a lot more on this and what came out in the Cleveland Plain Dealer today concerning the 2004 election recount and the three election workers who have been indicted for gaming the recount. But guess what? They're still working in the Board of Elections. Only in Ohio, folks. Well, maybe not only Ohio. Florida, too. We're going to get back with much more of that right after this. Tons of guests. I am your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, sitting in for Peter B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and through electronic filing gets you that refund as soon as you need it in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet Heaven Investments Holding Corporation, a real estate development and investment company based in Sacramento with offices in San Francisco as well. If you've ever wondered if there's still time to find the right investment property right here in Northern California, then you need to listen to Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, heard all over Northern California. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Before Ohio even begins? The answer is no. It has been alluded and stated specifically, and I will state it again. Because of the partisan manipulation of Republican Secretary of State Blackwell in this state. It is that he served as the chair of the Bush-Cheney re-election effort. If we were to go to a sporting event and see one of the teams providing all the referees and umpires, we'd get suspicious. But we're suspicious now.
We voted on machines without a paper trail. Whoever brought us those touchscreens ought to go to jail. No more hanging chance, no more democracy. What's lost is lost, we have been had, screwed so thoroughly. Coup d'etat, oh coup d'etat, here we go again. Ohio and Florida, where cheaters go to win. Coup d'etat, oh coup d'etat,
oh, yeah.
No one wants to say. That's two elections in a row. They're laughing all the way.
Yes, they are laughing all the way. Ken Blackwell certainly is, the Ohio Secretary of State, who just happens to be the co-chair for the Bush-Cheney 04 election. And he was laughing, well, he thought he was going to be laughing when last year he... As AP reported just the day before yesterday, Ken Blackwell revealed Monday that he accidentally invested in shares of voting machine manufacturer Diebold Inc. last year, a period when he was being sued by other manufacturers over contracts that Diebold was up for. Turns out that Blackwell had said that Diebold machines are the only ones, the only electronic voting machines to meet the federal and state standards under the Help America Vote Act of 2002, and so all over Ohio last year, 44 counties began in November 05, with new electronic voting machines. 41 of the 44 were using Diebold. So, you know, J. Kenneth Blackwell made out very well in that stock purchase, except for this little fact that not long after all of this happened, something happened with Diebold's stock. Amongst the things that happened over at BradBlog, we reported on a Diebold insider who is still anonymous, so I refer to this source only as Deeb. Deepthroat told us was pretty alarming, and 3 days later, in fact, Diebold shares fell 20%, and they are now being sued for stock manipulation, insider trading, all sorts of things. Diebold shareholders, you might want to get out now, because Diebold is going to have a lot of splaining to do, as will J. Kenneth Blackwell, who, by the way, is running for governor this year on his own machines. All right, let me talk about 04. We're talking about 06. Now, not to talk too much like George W. Bush, who says when we're talking about war, we're talking about peace. No, when we're talking about 04, that's just a preview for what we're going to be. Cuyahoga County. Have been indicted on felony charges for gaming the recount that was filed by the Green and Libertarian parties, not by the Democratic Party, not by John Kerry, but it was the Greens who stepped up, David Cobb in particular, presidential candidate. That's who you heard as we're coming in the bumper music at the top of this segment. So they were supposed to have a recount, and they were supposed to recount 3% of the ballots, random precincts. And if they didn't match up, then they were to hand recount the entire county.
tinfoil hat because you give a damn about democracy, because you give a damn about what happened in 2004. Let them know that so far, and this report says there may be more indictments, so far, three folks have been indicted in Cuyahoga County for gaming the recount and avoiding choosing precincts that would not match up. And I'll toss this in. When you're told that there wasn't enough votes to make a difference, that there couldn't have been enough fraud to make a difference, I will remind you that six votes, just six votes for John Kerry, registered for John Kerry, instead of George W. Bush, would have given the state to John Kerry. Six votes in each precinct. All right, what do we got here? John, we're going to have to go to a break here very shortly, so let me check this from John Gideon from VotersUnite.org. Sends in a story with voting machine companies now bankrupt. CEO speaks out. No vendor has a system that voters can trust. Holy cow. Oh, man. I'm going to have to read this. AccuPoll, I believe, in Pennsylvania. They were supposed to work out there, and they went bankrupt. And so they wanted
Progressive to Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this New Year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our tasty planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants. But we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with a brand new reality radio show every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, right here on AM 540 KRXA. We'll have colorful, interesting guests, and we'll take your calls. There's no subject we won't explore together. 40 KRXA.
There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more. Many more.
We're resting our case on the fact that Saddam Hussein has developed weapons of mass destruction, has them in his possession.
The real threat to peace is Saddam Hussein and his possession of weapons of mass destruction.
There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction.
They have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about.
The Iraqi regime possesses biological and chemical weapons. The Iraqi regime is building the facilities necessary to make more biological and chemical weapons.
Keep on rocking me, baby, 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 keep on rocking
me. In his speech to Congress, the Prime Minister opened the door to the possibility that you may be proved wrong about the threat from weapons, Iraq, weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, we won't be proven wrong.
Oh, no. They won't be proven wrong. Not going to happen. Never going to happen. Nothing to worry about. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am Brad Friedman of Brad Blog, your friendly citizen blogger, sitting in for Peter B. today. We're going to have Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress very shortly. I want to hit this item that just came in at the end of the last hour from John Gideon over at votersunite.org. And, hey, John, if you're listening, go ahead at the open thread over at BradBlog, if you can, in comments, add a link to this article. But it turns out that AccuPoll, one of the companies that recently went bankrupt, one of the voting machine companies, the CEO made a statement. Here's the statement. I am not happy about the outcome or the state of the industry. I think that something needs to be done. I'm not sure what it is. It probably doesn't include AccuPoll at this point, but I do not feel that any of the vendors has a system that voters can trust. That's Dennis Vadura, former AccuPoll CEO. Over at, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later on with Bruce Funk, the Emory County County Clerk, who dared to let people look at the Diebold touchscreen machines out there. He's out of a job, it seems, because of it. But one of the other points you can check over there at BradBlog is it happened in Pennsylvania. I posted it last night. In Allegheny County, they had planned to go with Diebold voting machines this year until it turned out they found they could be hacked. So they decided to go with Sequoia voting systems instead. And last week they found that Sequoia voting systems can be hacked. So it was announced yesterday they're going to go with ES&S instead. I'll remind you that ES&S was the company who failed all over Texas on March 7th in those primaries. I spoke about the 100,000 extra votes added in Tarrant County, courtesy of ES&S and Hart InterCivic. They worked together down there in Texas to make sure your democracy sucks. All right, speaking of democracy sucking, we've got Faz Shakir here from the Daily co-editor of the Daily Progress Report from the Center for American Progress. You can get your own copy via email from progressreport.org. He is Peter B's regular Thursday guest. I am glad to have him with us. Hey, Faz, how are you, sir?
Hey, Brad, how are you? It's nice to finally meet you. I'm always checking out your blog, and so it's nice to be on with you.
Now, are you just saying that to butter up the guest?
No. Everyone's familiar with the Brad blog out there in the blogosphere.
Well, you're very kind to say that. Hopefully they're familiar with it, and they like it. That said, what I like is the Center for American Progress and what you guys put out every single day. And I know you got a bunch of stuff that was on the wire today, but I want to focus in a little bit here on the big news about these leaks. And it turns out that maybe George W. Bush knew more than he told us. Go figure. Can you fill us in on some of those details, sir?
Sure. What we learned from the New York Sun this morning is that Scooter Libby is now telling the prosecutors in the case against him that President Bush authorized him to go ahead and leak classified intelligence regarding Iraq in order to push back against Jill Wilson's smears, or what they considered smears. And so they smeared Joe Wilson with classified intelligence, and he peddled this to New York Times reporter Judith Miller.
She was buying. That's
for sure. Right. That's right. She's always a willing consumer of Scooter Libby's information.
Yes.
One of the bits of misinformation out there a little bit today is that President Bush authorized him to go ahead and leak Valerie Plame's actual name, which is pretty inaccurate. What he did do, though, is said, go ahead and leak information about what we knew in the National Intelligence Estimate prior to going into Iraq in an effort to smear Joe Wilson, because Joe Wilson was saying, hey, I was telling these guys there wasn't a case there. There were no nuclear capacity. There was no uranium transaction going on. And I was telling them that. And so President Bush said, all right, let's just leak classified intelligence to smear this guy.
Now, in that National Intelligence Estimate, I'm sure they leaked the things that backed up their case, but there was a lot of stuff that didn't back up their case that actually backed up Joe Wilson's case.
That's a very good point. It was a very selective leak of information. They didn't, as one blog, the Left Coaster, pointed out today, that the information contained in the NIE did not refute what Joe Wilson was saying. It did not specifically mention the uranium transactions, and, of course, that was what Joe Wilson had made the center point of his complaint, is that I went there, I checked it out, there was no uranium transaction going on. And so when President Bush said, let's go ahead and use the NIE to push back on him, what he didn't realize, or maybe, you know, what they didn't want other people to realize, is that the NIE never specifically addressed that issue because the CIA agreed with Joe Wilson. So his case was strengthened in the sense that it was shown that he was right and the Bush administration was wrong.
And now the little bit of misinformation that you helped us clear up, let me see if I can clear that up a little bit further. Now, Libby did not say that Bush authorized him. Actually, Libby doesn't say that Bush authorized him to do anything, does he? He says that Bush authorized Cheney to authorize him.
Am I right? He learned through the grapevine. Vice President Cheney told him that President Bush had given Vice President Cheney the authority to go ahead and declassify this information.
Okay. And now, furthermore, to clear it up even further, hopefully, while Libby didn't say that Bush gave the okay to release Valerie Plame's name, does he deny that, or is that just something that has not come out yet?
That has not yet been fully fleshed out. We don't know exactly what's going on with regards to the leak of Valerie Plame's name. It seems like it's from before we learned that Vice President Cheney was the one who told Scooter Libby that Valerie Plame was a covert agent. And so that's still out there. We still think that was the case, that Vice President Cheney told Scooter Libby who she was and go ahead and leak her name.
Right.
We don't know if President Bush was involved in that transaction yet.
Right. But now when you got Bush sort of okaying these leaks to Cheney and saying, hey, Cheney and Grapevine, go ahead and leak what you need to, we, in fact, don't yet know whether George W. Bush actually said, sure, go ahead, leak Valerie Plame's name.
That's right. But I think that the key message coming out of today is that we now know that President Bush was involved in the campaign against Joe Wilson. I think that's the key message here. I mean, the timing of the release of this information was in June of 2003 when Joe Wilson was coming out, and the reason that they were peddling the stuff to Judith Miller at the New York Times was to push back against Joe Wilson. And we know that the President Bush was sitting in on these meetings and saying, giving the specific go-ahead to smear that guy.
And I hate to repeat things that folks may already know, but I think it bears repeating because people keep coming back to this and saying, oh, so what? They can do whatever they want. This is, and Faz, please confirm this, the first time that we know of in history that the White House has outed a covert CIA operative.
That's absolutely right. And another first thing that we learned today is that according to this court document that was revealed by the New York Sun, that this was the first time Scooter Libby had ever used declassified information and given it to a reporter. So, I mean, there was something special going on here, you know, and this was also it was also mentioned in the court documents that Vice President Cheney specifically told Scooter Libby that I want you to be the guy who delivers this message, not my press secretary. So they went around the press secretary to go ahead and push the smear.
And Scooter Libby was his chief of staff.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Now, one of the reports, I think it was in the Sun, said that Libby at least claims that he was concerned about this, that he objected at first.
He said he was at first concerned when Vice President Cheney said to go ahead and use this classified information to push back against Joe Wilson. He said that he at first resisted, but then Vice President Cheney told him later that President Bush had okayed it, specifically okayed the release of this information. We don't, of course, the big question out there is, was that true? And the interesting thing about that question is Brit Hume asked Vice President Cheney in that infamous interview after the shooting incident. Remember that where he came out with the pink tie and all that? At the end of that interview...
You mean the spraying incident?
That's right, the shot the man in the face interview with Brit Hume. At the end of that interview... Brit Hume specifically asks him, hey, do you have the authority to unilaterally declassify information? And Cheney says, I don't want to get into that.
Yes.
So, again, we don't know whether Cheney was just making stuff up and telling Scooter Libby, hey, if President Bush has okayed this, so go ahead and do it, or whether President Bush actually okayed it.
Man, we are so far through the looking glass. Okay, I want to ask, talk more about the legality issues here and what the vice president and the president are or aren't allowed to do and what is the procedure that needs to be done when they want to declassify things. And the question of impeachment and the legality of that, what that's based on, and the fact that that's a political act, not necessarily a legal act. We're speaking with Faz Shakir. Right now, from the Center for American Progress, we're going to take a break here shortly, and I should have given out the phone numbers. If you want to get in here while we still have some more time in this next segment, give us a call in Monterey, 831-899-5792, or around the world, toll-free, at least around the country, toll-free, 888-579-2540. More with Faz Shakir after this, and then Tom Tomorrow, Bruce Funk, and Ed Asner all ahead for you right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money in Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
I have brought peace, freedom, justice, and security to my new empire.
Your new empire? Anakin, my allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy!
If you're not with me, then you're my enemy.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
Might as well. Might as well be back in the USSR. It looks a hell of a lot like America, but now I'm starting to wonder. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA 540 AM in Monterey, KGOE 1480 AM in Eureka, and all across the world via KRXA540.com. I'm Brad, sitting in for Peter B. today. We're speaking with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress about this sudden, and it's tough at this point to be surprised by any of this. It seems like, oh, we should be stunned, shocked. What? The President of the United States may have leaked classified information as retribution against a critic of the administration, that critic being Joe Wilson, and some of that information may or may not have led to the outing of his CIA agent wife, his covert CIA agent wife, and it's just amazing. You know, folks seem to forget about pointing this out. Dick Cheney said at one point that he had no idea who this Joe Wilson was until it came up in a news report. Joe Wilson was in charge of the embassy in Iraq during the first Gulf War. Joe Wilson was the last American to meet with Saddam Hussein just prior to that war. That was George Bush's father's war, and that was Dick Cheney as the Secretary of Defense. Am I out of my mind for thinking that his claim that he didn't even know who Joe Wilson was?
There can be no doubt that that the whole Bush family knows who Joe Wilson was. He was a close friend of the first President Bush, George H.W. Bush. And when he retired, Joe Wilson retired, President George H.W. Bush sent him a very nice letter saying, you know, I thank you for your service, and you've been invaluable to my administration, and you were invaluable to our efforts in the Persian Gulf War. So there, I don't think there's any doubt that all of the war hawks in that administration and the Bush family itself know who Joe Wilson was.
Except for Dick Cheney. It blows my mind. And then, you know, he says something like that. And, of course, we know Britt Hume ain't going to call him on it. But I can't believe that we are not hearing this pounded, this was a couple years ago, I think, already, that Dick Cheney said, oh, I'm not familiar with the man, never heard of him. Blah, blah, blah. I can't believe that, you know, I've asked too many times, where the hell is the media? Of course, Center for American Progress is where the media is, where they should be, and you guys are following the stuff that they should be following. Let's talk about the legality of this matter. Now, it is said or inferred that the president can declassify anything he wants at any time. Now, is there a process for that? Or is he just, if Bush says, okay, release it, if Bush releases it himself, is that legal? Because he's the president, yeah. And he can do whatever he wants?
the interesting thing about this is that prior to 2003, there was a process. And then President Bush instituted a new executive order in 2003, changing the way things were classified and declassified. And in this order, it states that the president can basically declassify anything he wants and classify anything he wants. So, and this was right around the time that the war was going on and the Joe Wilson smear began. So many have speculated, including a blogger named out there in Fire Dog Lake, I'm sure you're familiar with.
Sure.
They have speculated that, you know, the executive order was performed at this time to, in essence, give the go-ahead to do the smear operation that they needed to do to go against Joe Wilson.
And that they actually went ahead and made this change so they could do this. Now,
That's
did
right.
this change in procedure mean that he could leak without just by his command, or was there a paper trail for any of this?
From what most legal scholars who look at it seem to say is that the president can go ahead and classify anything he wants according to this executive order, and the declassification authority goes to anyone who has classification authority. Therefore, the president, having unilateral classification authority, also has declassification authority. The tougher question is, where does Dick Cheney and the vice president play in here? And then specifically, the executive order addresses these certain questions about who has declassification authority, and you have to be a supervisor, you have to be an original classifying authority. Dick Cheney is not any of those. The only way you could potentially argue that Dick Cheney has the power to declassify documents unilaterally without President Bush's command is if you think that he's co-president, and he has all the same powers that President Bush has.
Question is, does George Bush have the same powers that Dick Cheney has?
That's what we've always been wondering, right? I mean, who's really wearing the pants in the Oval Office?
Yeah. Well, interestingly put, Faz. my question, though, on this legality issue, therefore, if in fact, whatever this executive order that he issued that allows him to release this information, if that means that what he did was legal, we're going to move this ahead a step. Does that mean that, well, it was legal, so nothing impeachable?
No, not exactly, because what we know happened is that he declassified information from the National Intelligence Estimate, which did not specifically name Valerie Plame. Valerie Plame was named in other documents further down the line. We don't know what the status of declassification are with regards to those documents that did name her. So the fact that he may have declassified portions of the October 2002 NIE does not mean he then therefore gave the go-ahead to declassify Valerie Plame's name. The other point I'd like to make here is that Scooter Libby is not on trial for having leaked Valerie Plame's identity. He's on trial specifically for having made false statements and having engaged in perjury with regards to telling prosecutors and Patrick Fitzgerald what was the truth. So Patrick Fitzgerald is going after him for basically telling a lie.
Well, that's for him. I'm trying to move this
right.
these chips ahead because, frankly, I don't give a damn about Scooter Libby. You know, it's clear that Bush and Cheney were behind all of this information, and, you know, chief of staffs don't go out and do this stuff on their own.
Right.
And so I think what I was getting at is, you know, there's this notion that, well, if the president did it, if it's legal, then there's, you know, nothing to hold him accountable for. Well, that's not really true because, again, when we talk about impeachment, it's not a legal thing. It's a political thing. Am I correct about that?
You're absolutely right. With regards to the question of impeachment, it's a completely political decision, just as censure would have been, right? It wasn't Russ Feingold built his case around a legal argument, but what it was a political maneuver to chastise somebody politically, and that's what impeachment would be as well. But even on the legal front, there's a distinction between declassifying the October 2002 NIE and leaking the identity of an undercover CIA agent. He did one. But he didn't have. It doesn't seem clear that he ever gave the authority to go ahead and do the second to declassify her name, and that is the crime, of course. And if that was performed, then Vice President Cheney is still on the hook for legal liability, as is everybody else who partook in it.
And in the Libby trial, Cheney may well be called as a witness, correct?
Or Karl Rove as well, and Stephen Hadley. So those would be some interesting players to hear. What they were doing, and from the court papers yesterday, it looked like it said specifically that Hadley was sending emails back and forth with Libby with regards to this. So he was an intimate player.
You bet he was. And, you know, folks, RawStory.com had reported on Hadley being a very intimate player in all of this for quite some time, and it's been overlooked by the rest of the mainstream media until they feel like running it and not giving them credit. Faz, I got to get out. Great talking to you. I hope to do it again soon. Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Get his report, progressreport.org. Thank you, Faz.
All right.
All right, we're back with Tom tomorrow after this break. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.